Welcome to Spiraling the Iced Tea Pod After. Wow. Welcome to Spiraling the Iced Tea Pod After, a show where we spiral about things that may or may not be figure skating. My name is Netta.
My name is Megan. How are you, Netta?
I'm good. I'm feeling a little bit manic because we're time traveling.
We are. We are looking back at Skate America and Skate Canada. These are our honorable mentions. This is going to have no structure or form. It's going to be just a beautiful primordial soup stream of consciousness of what we remember and what we want to talk about that did not end up on the podium but was still really memorable.
Well, several things. First of all, apologies for being late with this episode. Life has been happening so much, and we appreciate your patience and support. Secondly, as a way to make up for being a little bit late with this one, it's going to be unhinged. Welcome.
Welcome. This is what you crave. I know. So, all right, let's...
As advertised, let's go. We started in America.
Yep. Much like my life.
The Grand Prix started in America. Much like our friendship.
Yeah.
Aw, cute. We were at the Texas Event Center in Allen, Texas.
I have notes because I was a different person a month ago. When this Grand Prix started, I was fresh. I was like taking really detailed notes when I was watching about every single performance. And now I'm just going purely on vibes. But this is good. I didn't know ahead of time that I was going to have, you know, no memory of what happened a month ago. And so this is good. Thank you, Past Megan, for writing things down such
as... Thank you, Past Megan.
Yeah, so the Past Megan has taken really scholarly and detailed notes, such as Dennis breasted boobily down the ice, Shun, cunty Piazzolla. Like...
Both of those are correct.
They are. Vlad Litvinov, Guy Fieri, Lion King.
Can we start there? Can we start at the Guy Fieri Lion King?
Yes.
Megan, I have amazing news about the phrase Guy Fieri Lion King.
I don't even need you to tell me because I have been friends with you long enough that I know what you're going to say. Reader,
yeah, I feel like...
Reader, again, I need to stop calling the listeners reader. I don't know why I do it, but there has been maybe the longest running... I don't even want to call it a bit or an inside joke. It's just like a plague.
No, it's just a mental illness.
It's a mental illness that is maybe the longest running through line in me and Netta's friendship.
Continue.
I'm sure it's come up on the show.
I'm sure it has.
Anytime anything scans to Alexander Hamilton, we have to do it. So, Guy Fieri, Lion King.
Thank you. His name is Guy Fieri, Lion King. At this point, it's not even... I don't want to be doing that. It just keeps happening to me.
Oh, yeah. No, you never opt into shit like that. It just takes over your life.
It's a plague on my brain. And anytime anything fits the melody... I just have to do it. And at this point, as someone else is speaking, it reminds me of when I was in high school, I was taking a sonnet writing class, a sonnet writing elective, because I am normal. And they made us write 20 lines of iambic pentameter every week for homework. And it didn't need to be a good poem. It just had to be an iambic pentameter. So for a very long time, all of my internal monologue was in an iambic pentameter. And I've lost that, thankfully, but for the past 8 years, it just has been Guy Fieri Lion King.
I can't believe I've only learned this now.
What, about my sonnet writing elective?
Yeah, which, by the way, also iambic pentameter.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I was really proud of myself. I was going to do a couplet, but I didn't because I had one in me.
Honestly, can bang out a pretty decent sonnet in like 20 minutes, thanks to my outstanding high school education. Anyway, Vladimir Litvinov from Azerbaijan.
Here's the thing.
Unhinged program of maybe all time?
Yeah, and here's the thing. I don't... Mm-hmm. I know at some point we're going to have to talk about Lukas Brzycki. So I don't... Yeah. But this was a time in my life before I had... seen that. And also,
it was BB before Brechki.
Yeah, and also, like, Larenaki Gutman and her whole thing. Like, we'll get there. But I think that of all of the Africa vague things happening that white people are doing, it is kind of nice to be like, you know what? I'm not even going to try to do anything like Africa. I'm just going to wear a chef outfit. Like, I don't get it, but it's, like, to me, more respectful in a way. I don't know. Guy Fieri.
Yeah, I think
respect.
I respect it. Guy Fieri is awesome and allegedly donates a whole bunch to charity and everything. Unless he has said some dodgy shit that I don't know about, which I feel like needs to be clarified for every single celebrity all the time, always. I believe that Guy Fieri is actually kind of cool. And so is this circle of life. I also, in the great tradition of Wakaba Higuchi, deeply, deeply, deeply respect a senior adult figure skater showing up, being like, for my next trick, I will be doing selections from The Lion King.
Yeah, like, we literally just recorded a video, I mean, an episode. What the fuck do we do here? We literally just recorded an episode where we spoke about how it was kind of millennial of Kao Miura to skate to Beauty and the Beast. But, like, also, skate to Disney if you want to.
Yeah, I respect it. There's something, and I think I talked about this last week on Main as well. There is something so pure about keeping the childlike wonder of getting to skate to little Disney songs and nursery rhymes and all the other fun, you know, songs for kids that children, babies skate to. Which is not to say that Circle of Life is a song for babies. The Lion King goes extremely hard. It's just a charming, charming choice, and it is clearly stuck with us, which makes it good and great.
It does make it good and great. I also want to say that I really liked Andrew Torkachev's performance in, I believe it was the short program, it was the Stromae. I thought it was really, really, really cool program. Yes. It wasn't his best performance, but I think when he gets it together, it's going to be a really, really cool, really cool program.
Stromae on ice is so genius, and he Andrea Torgish, a friend of the pod, is one of those people who really has the contemporary quality of movement to really do it justice. I think obviously this one time wasn't the time when it came together, but I think it works. I think it's very interesting. We were talking recently about what sort of contemporary music we, you know, works on ice and should be seen more. And I think Stromae's entire discography, and it would really go with the Eurobangers trend that we're seeing. There's two separate Dandila programs this year in 2023.
Yeah, I think the world is ready.
Yeah, and we've seen so many... what's her name? Barbara Parvi, the little French lesbian from Eurovision. We've seen so much of the beautiful Eurobangers. We've seen fucking Conchita Wurst, or Wurst, if you will. There's room for Eurobangers on ice, which is not in ice shows. In this essay, I will be skating to Stromae.
Hell yeah. What else? I'm looking at women from that. Let's have a debate.
From Skate America?
A structured 10-minute debate about the costume that An Chang-yi wore for the short program at Skate America, the, like, pink and black flapper
the
situation.
The pink?
Yeah.
I personally love it. I think it's unhinged.
I did not care for it. I do think it's unhinged, but I did not care for it.
Let me pull up a picture of it. It does have some questionable appliques. Also, title of my memoir. Is there a single picture of this short program? Please, God. I cannot find a single picture. I'm also very scared that I'm gonna drop my good Wi-Fi if I keep looking for it. First of all, I'm thrilled to see her on this circuit. She has been such a star on the internet and everything, and it's fantastic to actually see her popping off like this. short 2023.
I had never seen her on the internet. No, like, I don't know how I missed that whole thing. I had no idea.
I don't know either. I can't find it.
That's okay. It was.
I can't find it and I give up. But it. Oh, there it is. Oh, there it is. Okay, several things. This was my favorite color combination when I was about 8 years old, back when the internet was beautiful and you could go on little websites and, you know, color and design little clothes for dolls and stuff. I would always default to a very beautiful baby pink and black because I've always been a goth. So I respect the colors here. I also think it's aesthetically unsettling in a way that countless nights at the gay bar has prepared me for.
Okay, interesting. So for me,
it's giving wearing a harness on top of a Speedo.
Okay, now, yes, it is giving that. I feel like, I don't know, I feel torn because I want to like it. I do love the color scheme. I do love the idea of appliques and beads and flapper aesthetic. I theoretically, I like the idea of a different type of silhouette in a costume, especially for women. Mm-hmm. I just feel like this particular one with the really, really tight mini skirt that was also ruched, I don't know if it was right for figure skating. Like, I just don't know.
I will say the one thing about this skirt. Well, many things are wrong with this skirt. Yeah, but we'll get there. The one thing that really, really I remember standing out to me was that it did ride up a whole bunch.
Yeah, well, anybody who's worn a skirt like that knows that that's going to happen even if you're not doing a camel spin. So.
Yeah, so I wonder, I mean, there is a way to pull off this exact same thing, even with like the ruched tulle in the front, if the underskirt is just a tiny bit A-line, just a tiny, tiny bit. Yeah. If it's not an actual mini skirt, it would prevent it from doing that. And you would still have like the nod to the 20s silhouette and, you know, the whole aesthetic.
I would also okay with shorts. I think shorts could be cute here.
Shorts could be cute. However, and I'm so sorry, I am talking about a teenager. There is a whole bunch of black beaded applique on like the pubic area. Where would that go if it's shorts? Because it would just have to end at the bottom of the shorts, and I don't think that's good.
I think in a world where I get to make improvements to this costume,
we get rid of the applique?
Yeah, the embroidered landing strip is going to be elsewhere and not on the costume.
Yeah.
That was honestly, my big... Doing, it was like, so distracting to me, and I was so disturbed by it that like I honestly did not even notice that I absolutely love her as a skater until I saw her again at Cup of China with a different costume, and I lost my shit. I was like, oh my god, I've never seen her before. And then I was like, wait a minute, no, I have. I just was really distracted by the Merkin skirt.
Yeah, I will admit this skirt is unsettling, and it's one of those things where someone sketched and sewed and beaded this thing, and I'm sure at some point they had a passing thought of what it must look like and just committed.
I mean, am I a prude?
No, you're not, because sometimes you don't want to see a beaded landing strip on a 16-year-old. And I get that, and I don't think it's prudish to be like, this is maybe not where we put beads on dresses.
You know what I will say? You know what I will say?
Please.
Historically, me saying that a costume looks too vaginal has traditionally, with a sample size of one, led to the skater then going on to make one of the most incredible comebacks in Grand Prix history and landing a triple axel in international competition and a flipped triple toad. Yes, I'm talking about Amber Glenn. I think this could actually bode really well.
I love the precedent that you've set and I respect it. And speaking of Amber Glenn, I know we've raved about her on the main feed at this point in history, but she did historically land her triple axel here in Allen, Texas for a home crowd. And honestly, top five sports moments of all time.
100%.
The epic highs and lows of an Amber Glacier at free skate.
How relatable.
Yeah. I know we've talked about it. I'm not going to harp on it, but so special.
Yeah.
So strong, so beautiful.
I also want to say, I like that Monica Wabe does finger guns at the judges. In a season where we're doing a lot of things at the judges, finger guns is a real subtle touch. Yeah.
Can we talk about... It is so interesting to me, and I have a working theory. My working theory is that the incredible choreographers of the figure skating world have a group chat where they pitch unhinged ideas every summer, and then they either do a bracket or someone loses a bet, and then all of them have to put a thing in their choreography, because there is no other explanation as to why we're seeing choreo from all over the world, from different choreographers, from different training camps, doing a one-armed cartwheel last year, and some of them trickled into this year, and doing fucking coyote ugly at the judges this year. How do we end up here?
Well, so I know that the one-armed cartwheel had to do with the entry and exit to the spin change in scoring. So it was one of the things that you could do to get a difficult entry or exit from a spin that I guess a fair amount of people could do.
Everyone was like, we're doing that.
Sure, yeah. Whether or not it works with the program, we're doing it. I think... Yeah, I can't imagine that there's a scoring implication or impetus to hump the judges.
Well, given how fucking terrified they look every time, I would be surprised if it's mandated.
I assume it's because there's a lot of built-up ire and that you just want to get in their face and be like, yeah!
Everyone watched I, Tonya on a plane, 7 years after it came out and was like, wait a minute, I can go over to the judges and have a moment.
Perfect. Yeah, and that is how it happens, actually, when with all figure skating media consumption. It's either Shailene Bourne having an HBO Max account, or you watch a movie on a plane 10 years later. That's the only two. Or there's a random VHS sale in a random place.
In a random country, and ends up skating to fucking Gladiator. Oh, I will say something that I learned recently via Mark and Reddy commentary. That is sort of related because he was on the podium at Skate America. Kevin Amoz apparently was a Bolero hater. Do you know that?
Yes, I love this story. And I actually meant to bring it up on Maine, but I forgot.
It is so fucking funny that he was like, this is boring. Which, first of all, how dare you? And secondly, then he went to the opera and wept for 20 minutes. Which is just so valid of him.
It's funny to start crying at the beginning of Bolero and then just keep crying. It's so long.
Well, I have cried the second I sit down in a theater maybe upwards of 20 times in my life.
That's true. So the first note of the overture sometimes is just really like Steindolly.
Yeah.
I can't say that. I don't know the word.
There is many instances I can think of. I have always said that if I ever go to heaven, if there is a heaven and I go to it, it would just be a theater stuck in a perpetual, the last 5 minutes before a musical starts, where you can hear people filtering in and you can hear the orchestra tuning in and just, you know, sitting down and settling in. So that's usually when I start crying when I'm in the theater.
You know when else I start crying?
Uh-huh.
When I see Denis Vasiliev's boobs.
Denis Vasiliev's titty. Breasting boobily across the ice.
And then for the free skate, it happened again and I wrote two titties, two furious.
Two titties. I will say, I know we kind of mocked the people on the internet. You know how 5 minutes ago you were concerned you were a prude? You're not, because you saw Denis Vasiliev's titty and you were like, this is acceptable and good.
Yeah, like it feels good, feels correct. It was clearly a deliberate choice. I think that it's flowy and beautiful, and it's clearly meant to be like romantic hero, like cover of a romance novel.
I feel like a lot of people who would clutch their pearls about Dennis Vasiliev titty with just a strip of modesty nude colored elastic to keep it from fully unraveling. The people who are against that are the sort of people who would watch the 2005 adaptation of Pride and Prejudice and be like, I want a Mr. Darcy running disheveled through the rain and blah, 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 blah. And bad news, those are that's the same archetype. It's still disheveled romantic lead who didn't have time to find a waistcoat.
Yeah, it's very like Mr. Darcy did run through the rain for you, right? And then afterwards he was like, my clothes are wet, I have to take them off. And then he took them off and he did have titties underneath, sorry to say. But not sorry.
Yeah, there's something unhinged and beautiful about like the unraveling of it all. Also, it is fun to see interesting silhouettes in male figure skating.
Also, it's fun to see male presenting nipples. I
just don't think we should be mad about it. Male presenting nipples. Fucking 2015 Tumblr.
Jesus Christ. Anyway, yeah, no, and I love the pink.
I think he's beautiful. I genuinely think he's beautiful. And he's grown. He's grown so much from the yellow pants, which I will not stop bringing up until I'm dead in the ground.
The yellow pants walked so that the fluorescent pink titty shirt could fly.
The thing is, they would look so good as a little ensemble.
Right? Right? So
It's giving something that Nikita Starostin would wear straight up.
Oh, 100%. It's giving yellow, yes, little German
yellow
boy.
Pants. Yellow pants, bright fuchsia, titty out, blouse.
Can't lose.
Can't lose skating to like ABBA or some shit.
Yeah. I also think the vibe of the programs is really fun because it's not exactly like burlesque. It's not like it's got that cheekiness, but it's also got like a maturity to it that's like, ooh, there's no like I'm doing something naughty to it. You know what I mean? It's so like I'm uh-huh. owning it and I know exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah. And I think conversely, this is when a burlesque performance or a cabaret performance, which I'm not saying this is, but a very good, very appealing cabaret or burlesque performance is not necessarily about the stripping or the, you know, the naughtiness of it. Whenever it's not camp. Camp is its own separate thing. But there's something so appealing about watching a stage performer of any caliber, of any genre, who just knows exactly what they're doing. Like in the example of classic burlesque, you know, the first thing you learn is that if you're taking one glove off, your performance is by definition burlesque. There are so many iconic burlesque performers who could make you watch them do the tiniest, tiniest, tiniest thing for 3 minutes. And it does feel titillating and exciting and fun because it's so well executed. And I think, and here's the thesis statement, I think Dennis carries himself with the exact same sort of understanding of what he's doing.
Yeah, well, and
I think it's great.
I think what I mean too is that's really, like, that has helped me realize what you just said, is that it's all very earnest. Like, there's no irony to it. It's like, I don't even know if I would classify it as camp. Like, I think there's arguments to be made, but I do think that it's like so there's no irony to it at all. There's no like laughing at. It's so, and it's like you're just so on board with him.
Yes.
Also, I think only a few people are allowed to skate to Hallelujah and like get it. He gets it.
I think so many things have happened. We're kind of all over the place, but it's just because we're trying to catch up with simply so much. What do your wise notes say?
They say Gogolev, Sound of Silence in a skunk shirt.
Gogolev, first of all, Sound of Silence, so nice. We all know, continues to make me feel things. Secondly, it is completely insane to me how big this man has gotten.
He's a big chongus.
I remember when he was this tiny miracle child, and I know a lot of his trouble with, you know, jumping technique and injury and everything has been from growing so much so quickly. But frankly, it makes me feel a little emotional thinking about how it used to be like, oh my God, look at this tiny little kid. And now it's like, oh no, that's a whole guy. That's also, really a man.
Yeah, and I want to be really clear. Big Chongus is not derogatory. It has never been derogatory. Oh, it never will be derogatory coming from me. It is affectionate.
It is affectionate, and I respect it, and I think his, you know, puberty, I guess, his development over the past couple of years is one of the most striking visual indicators of the passage of time in the sport. I mean, a lot of other things have changed and, you know, come and gone, but I just can't stop thinking about how he used to be this, like, little cherubic baby, and now he's a dude. And I honestly think that when he gets all of his technique all the way back, he will continue to be a danger because he has a presence, which I enjoy.
Yeah, and I think I feel the similar way about the passage of time with Young Yu, actually.
Yeah, she's also become a beautiful, tall woman.
Yeah, incredible. I mean, like, hasn't had the skates that she wants yet, but she has really beautiful curtain bangs now. And that, to me, is also a way that you can win.
Just in general. I feel like I've tweeted about her little bangs several times at this point, because there's something so relatable and personal about a girly who got bangs and then purchased every single hair clip you can imagine because she realized that bangs are not exactly sustainable for what she's doing.
Yeah, I think, like, bangs in particular, but just hair in general coming out while you're skating is so cute. Just, like, it's the best.
Yeah. Seeing someone who's, like, gone through the effort of, like, an elaborate, you know, updo or braid or something, and then by the end it's ever so slightly unraveled, really, really sparks joy. It's one of those things that humanizes skaters for me. While we're talking about Young Yu, though, I cannot believe that we're being forced to endure a cinematic pop version of Listen to Your Heart when the gorgeous original is right there and you can just skate to it.
Yeah, I don't care for that. I would even take the one that came, that the, like, the dance remix that came out when I was a teenager.
Yeah, I don't know. I have a very soft spot in my heart for Roxette.
I certainly do as well, yeah.
I love them so very much, and I think there's something to, like, an 80s anthemic big banger that I think if you commit to could be really, really, really good and actually, like, not as a joke, very appealing on ice. And I kind of want to see, I mean, obviously we've been seeing a bunch of that with Ice Dance this year with the 80s theme, but I want to see more of that energy in singles as well.
Yeah, I do wonder, like, what's the thought process there when you pick a weird, obscure cover?
I guess you pick a song that you like, and then I think you reverse engineer what we talked on the main feed about with Exogenesis. I think you reverse engineer, oh, I want to be doing this pop song, but it needs to have an orchestra so that the judges won't be mad at me for not doing classical.
I also think sometimes, like, I wish that the choreographers and just whoever's in charge, coaches, skaters, and judges would just let a song do its thing. I understand the urge to be like, oh, how could I ever pick a favorite cover of this song? Let me include all of them. But I think that it's become so standard to be like, I'm going to do a song and I have to include 8 different remixes of it and it has to transition and change 90 times. And it's like, what if I told you that you could have a song that was really samey samey and you could actually just, like, express with your skating and your choreography a build and a change? Like, I wish we could. I think that I think a lot of skaters are capable of that, and we don't need to, like, build it into the music in a way that feels inorganic to make it happen.
Yeah. Okay, speaking of truly insane covers and people who are at Skate America, I would lay down my life for Star Andrews any day of my life.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that she has chosen the Lea Michele version of Being Good Isn't Good Enough.
It's so challenging.
Drives me up the fucking wall.
It's so challenging.
Like, you're familiar with the context of the song.
I'm actually not.
You're not? Okay. Okay. Being Good Isn't Good Enough is a song from the musical Hallelujah Baby, which is from like the, I don't fucking know, like late 60s, early 70s. And it is a, it's a, okay, let me, I'm gonna Google it because I want to pull up like an actual synopsis because I studied it in undergrad and you're about to be even more confused about, okay, there we go. Hallelujah Baby is a musical with music by Jules Stein and lyrics by Adolph Green and Betty Comden, blah, 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 blah. The show is, in quotations, a chronicle of the African-American struggle for equality during the first half of the 20th century. And it's, it centers this character who's like, she's like a career woman. She's black and she, you know, wants to have like a full, fulfilling life. And Being Good Isn't Good Enough is the closing number of Act One. It's this whole, I mean, the song makes a lot of sense in that context. And obviously I as a white person can't really speak to it, but it would make sense to Star's career on the competitive circuit because we've seen her fucking PCS. And then you go and pick the Lea Michele fucking Glee cover.
Yeah, this, okay, this has confused me deeply. I'm going to be honest with you. I heard that it was Lea Michele singing it, and I assumed that it was just, like, originally a Barbara Streisand song, because she has one identity, no, and it's cosplaying Barbara. But I'm so confused. Okay, because I got, like, okay, watching Star do it, I was like, this is a perfect mm-hmm. choice for this skater, because, like, that whole, like, having to do everything a million times better because you're black and a woman is what it is to be, like, a black American woman. And
it would simply make sense if she picked any of the cast recordings, anyone else singing it.
Yes, it's wild. And so I was like, I originally thought that this was, because Lea Michele was singing it, that it was like a white lady musical song. But it worked really well in this circumstance, but also like surely someone else sang it better than Lea Michele. And I agree with you. I think with Star's narrative, like, it works really, really well because much in, like, other areas, like, if you're a black woman in figure skating, you have to do everything a million times better to get half the praise, which is bullshit. But I think that hearing that it's originally, actually, that's the original intent and the original context, why the fuck did Lea cover it?
It was on Glee. And I can't tell you the context of why Rachel Berry sings it, because I stopped watching Glee after season 3. But that show has made a lot of shitty choices, and that's one of them. And I'm laughing because I'm uncomfortable.
I mean, look, like, maybe Star really likes Lea Michele, in which case I'm like, okay, I guess.
I mean, I respect it.
But it's not what I would do.
It is much like bringing a Lion King to the competitive senior circuit, bringing a Glee cover of simply anything. I don't care about cultural context. I mean, I do, but like, regardless of, you could show up with Teenage Dream as performed by Darren Criss, and I would still be like, it is 2023. What are you doing?
Do you think it was strategic? Like, do you think that it would have been too, like, do you think there was a thought that it would be too confrontational to have, like, the original, like, intent and context of it?
No, because I don't think that judges have the brain cells to analyze musical theater to this extent while someone is skating at them.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not here to tell a black woman how to express her
No.
I'm just saying I don't like Lea Michele, and I don't understand why you would ever do the Glee version of anything.
Yeah, I think my first problem would be, holy shit, why are we doing the Glee version? And then it's the added layer of,
why did Glee do it?
This song actually rules. And also, why did Lea Michele do this to begin with? I think my questions are for Ryan Murphy and everyone involved with the absolute crime that is Glee.
If only there had been unbelievable black women singers on Glee. Oh, wait a minute.
Right? Right? You would fucking think. Anyway, what I'm talking about, Star, her short program, my God, the pink, the Beyonce of it all, the fact that it's choreographed by Adam Rippon, it's everything.
It's everything.
It fits
to me.
In the tradition of, there is a whole catalog this year of programs you take to the club. And this one is, I think, at the very top of them in terms of impeccable vibe.
Completely agree. Completely agree. Absolutely stunning. And I love it. I also love it,
but I will be thinking about Lea Michele more, unfortunately. What else do you love?
I was going to say, I love that, like, every time Star skates for the rest of time, someone, whoever is announcing, has to be like, one time she sang to a recording of her own voice. Because I don't know Star, and I don't know what her deal is as a person. But I can just personally say that if I was really good at ice skating and really good at singing, I would probably skate to my own voice, and then I would be embarrassed forever after that I did it. Like, I would do it, think it's a good idea, and then be like, wait a minute, I'm really embarrassed I did that, and then no one would ever let me forget. I would be so mad that people would keep bringing it up. I've just made up this narrative in my head.
Yeah, do we know whether she's regretted it?
No, I don't think she has, and I don't think she should, but, like, every time I do anything, if it then becomes, like, no one will ever let me forget it, it doesn't matter if it's, like, won a Nobel Peace Prize. Yeah. Like, if it becomes the thing someone says every time, I automatically become embarrassed and wish it didn't happen. I don't know what that is about me, but every time I'm like, she's
it's about
done
being
other
perceived,
things.
I think.
Like, she's done other things. Stop saying that about her, even though it was cool that she did it.
It was very cool. Conversely, she should have sung the song from Hallelujah Baby anyway.
Agree.
I'm just looking down this list of people.
Do you want to talk about Canada?
I do want to go to Canada, but before we go to Canada, I do want to say that we are witnessing a miracle in the year of the Lord 2023, and that miracle is that Ekaterina Korakova has purchased new tights and her boots go over them.
It's unbelievable, really.
It is, and I'm thrilled. And also, the other day, one of my friends was like, haha, how funny would it be if someone skated in full head-to-toe Adidas? And I was like, I have amazing news about this Polish skater. Her name is Ekaterina Korakova, and she has bedazzled stripes down her costume this year. It's not Adidas stripes because it's not three of them, but still.
I don't know. I don't love the skirt over the pants. I feel like it should have just been one or the other. I don't know that I'm ever going to love skirt over pants on ice, just as someone who grew up in, like, the 2010s and has, you know, sartorial trauma from there. But I think I appreciate what she's trying to do, right? Like, she's trying to get away from her, like, sweet bubbly girl image. I don't know that this is the way, because she's kind of just doing a sweet bubbly Beatrix, what's her nuts, from Kill Bill.
Sweet bubbly Kill Bill.
It's very like someone's going to die of fun. You know what I mean? Like, it's
let's go to Canada.
But I love you, Katya.
I don't think we can top that.
Yeah, I love you, Katya.
Can top that.
Never change. Embrace your sweet bubbliness. We love you. Let's go to Canada.
What happened in Canada? So many things. Well, Jeff Panchayat testing me because he was second in the short, and then my god, oh, he's stressful. He's always gonna be stressful, and I love him for it.
Batman is having a moment, and it's so silly to me. Like, it's so silly. It's like, I'm sorry, like, there are characters that work on ice, and then to me, like, any superhero outside of a gala is always gonna be so fucking dumb and silly. Like, maybe that's just me.
I disagree. I enjoy this Batman, and I want to see it done. I think the second I see this program done to its full potential, I will be losing my shit.
It's not that I don't enjoy it. Like, I do think he's doing it well, and I think it's fun, but I think the idea of it will always make me laugh. It will always be a little bit of a joke to me to skate to Batman. It's just funny. I don't know why. No matter how well
Is that the overarching theme of this episode is actually, can you skate to things you found cool when you were 4 years old?
Maybe. What did I find cool when I was four? Whales. I could skate to whale music, like whale songs.
like a clock tower.
Just like weird clicks, and I'm just like.
What did I enjoy when I was four? Archaeology. The concept of bones.
You could skate to spooky, scary skeletons.
Yeah. Oh, and I think, man. Like, I don't know, like, I'm thinking of, like, what did I enjoy in, like, elementary school? And honestly, if I had to commit to, okay, here's your thought experiment. If you had to commit to a program like to music that is something that you enjoyed like first to fifth grade, I would have to just do a river dance.
Okay, that's a really good question. Can we do like a short and a free? Like you get two?
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, okay, okay. So I would be doing a river dance short or like a Lord of the Dance, like an Irish. It would be Lord of the Dance because that was my special interest for most of elementary school. But that would be, yes, that would be it.
I would do a Pokemon short program.
Holy shit, yes.
And at one point I was really, really special interested in 101 Dalmatians. And so I would do like a Cruella de Vil, but it would also be kind of a diss track against Atari.
But would you be doing like cool contemporary Cruella, Emma Stone? Or are we going the original soundtrack to the movie?
I think it's got to be the original. I mean, if anything, actually, I think if I'm remembering correctly, around the time that I was really into it, it was because it was the live action one with Glenn Close. So I don't know what the music was for that, if it was just the same song, but I would be skating as Glenn Close as Cruella de Vil.
Wow. Okay, so I will be doing a Lord of the Dance short program. Honestly, if I thought about it for a little bit longer, I could probably tell you exactly which tracks. I'm not going to do that. It would be Morrigan's track, the one where she's in the red dress and she looks so hot. I was a great child. And then for a free skate, it would have to be Lord of the Rings, like original soundtrack.
I love this storyline.
Or the Chronicles of Narnia. I've always been very dedicated to the aesthetic. And I have fully reverted back to the same aesthetic, having now grown up. I'm a fantasy girly. We all know that about me. I love, you know, a big roaming open field and some fairies in a bog and all of that. I will say the Chronicles of Narnia, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. It's Harry Gregson Williams composing, and it is one of the scores, period. It is so good. Also, I think around the same time Pirates of the Caribbean also came out, so if I wanted to be safe, I would be doing that, but no, I think a Narnia program would go very hard, actually.
I could also see myself doing like Star Wars Phantom Menace, which would be real mistake. Sick.
That would be very funny. That would be very funny.
It would be funny. I mean, if it was half as good as Adam's.
I think going Pokemon and Star Wars is so respectable. I enjoy that for your grade.
I think so. Yeah. Anyway.
I mean, fifth grade is also when I discovered symphonic metal. So I could technically be doing some big, you know, fucking Within Temptation or some shit.
We were cool is what I'm hearing.
We've always been neurodivergent and theatrical.
You can just say like queer if you want.
I mean, it's both.
It's both.
It's both. What else happened in Canada?
I don't know, because I just closed the tab thinking it was America. That was really problematic of me to conflate America and canceled. Canada. In Canada territory, I want to say I love Kazuki Tomono. I love that he's skating to Halston for some reason. Like, it's so good.
Can we talk about that? Because I'm confused about...
No, but also what I want to say is that Misha G and him were, like, walking on the beach talking about Halston. And so that's why he edited beach sounds into it, because it's evocative of the time that they were walking on the beach talking about Halston. What? Which is, like, I have...
You could fully be lying to me right now.
I have nothing to say about it. I'm simply just putting that information out there.
Where are you getting this information?
From Mark and Reddy.
Okay. I must have blacked out when that was said, because that is unhinged.
Like, I don't have anything to say about it. I just want people to know that it happened and, you know, log on to AO3 and do what you will.
Jesus Christ, Megan, you can't tell people to do that.
Unrelated. Do what you want to do. Either write fan fiction or don't write fan fiction about whatever topic you want to.
about whatever you want. And also send me the links. No, I'm joking. Please don't do that. That would be a very weird breach in our parasocial relationship. Please don't. Kazuki, though.
A great skater.
I was so happy.
And a fine man.
Something that happened was, I can't remember which one of his events, but I was live tweeting it and I got to engage in the age old tradition that you usually do. And I got to tweet the Sarazanmai, I have a crush on Kazuki.
Yes, I didn't realize you had kept the tradition up. I'm so happy and honored.
I was like, he was skating and it was so good. And I was like, where's the screenshot? Like, fully, like, stressed Googling, I have a crush on Kazuki in all caps.
I know.
Because I was like, I was tweeting in all caps anyway. So I was just like screaming at Google, like, please help me. And it worked.
It does. That's what I search every single time. Like, I don't have it saved anywhere. I just Google, I have a crush on Kazuki.
That is extremely funny. Do you think maybe, you know how people do like Google Analytics for when terms spike?
Oh my God. I really hope that it's whenever Kazuki competes.
It's like, I have a crush on Kazuki. Oh God. I don't know what else to say about any of this. It was the very chaotic start to a very chaotic Grand Prix season.
It was. And I want to say... quickly about women, I want to say that...
I want to say quickly about women is honestly probably the sub-headline of our entire show.
That's true. I love Maddie Skeezus. I think she's great.
Me too.
I love how mean she seems. Not in a way where she would be mean to you. In a way that, like, sometimes you want a friend who's a little mean. And, like, not, again, not to you, but just, like, has that, like, fierceness. Like,
do you think it's just because she's so focused and intense all the time?
She always seems pissed in a way that, again, like, I just think would be fun. Like, sometimes you want a little bit of a pissed energy. Like, in an ideal friend group, you want a Kaori and you want a Katya, but you want a Maddie as well.
Dream blunt rotation.
Dream blunt rotation.
I will say also she... I get to say that because I'm Balkan. She has Greek ancestry, and that just comes with some anger in there, you know?
Yeah, and again, I want to be really clear. Like, this is not a dig. This is a compliment. Like, I talk...
Oh, yeah.
I was talking about somebody the other day where I was like, oh my God, I love them so much because they're, like, kind of mean. And it doesn't mean they're mean to me. It means that they just, like, say things...
Just, like, they're intense a little bit.
They're intense and they're direct, and they say things that people who are very concerned about being nice would not say. But I like hearing it sometimes.
That is honestly aspirational. And also, just, like, as a blanket statement on my end, if I start anything with, I'm Balkan, so I get to blank, it means I'm about to claim you as a sibling. It's a compliment every time.
Yes, absolutely. Maddie Skeezus, come on our show anytime. She's also a classical musician. I'm sure we'd have a lot of stuff to talk about.
I love her. Again, she is one of the few people on the circuit where she skates and my brain works for 4 minutes because she skates in my direction. And I respect everything she does.
That's amazing. Finally, I want to say, Lindsay Thorngren has really surprised me in how much she's grown on me this season.
Right?
I was never...
Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah, I was never really a fan, and I was never not a fan, but to me, she never stuck out. She just always seemed like, oh, she's very junior. I don't know that she has, like, an identifiable thing yet that makes me excited to watch her skate. And while I don't know that that is... Like, I think that might still be true, but I think that I've become, like, a Lindsay Thorngren stan because I think that she and Isabeau are roughly comparable. Like, I don't really see a massive difference in their skills, but I see a massive difference in how they're, like, marketed. And
yeah.
So I'm rooting for Lindsay as, like, it's very, like, Chloe and Maddie dance moms.
Yeah, it is.
Like, I always root for the Chloe. I always root for the underdog. The one who's, like, for some reason not getting the same attention, even though I don't really see...
Yep.
A huge difference.
Like, the huge difference. Also, anyone with a Twilight free skate, fully, beautifully putting the button on, are you allowed to skate to things that were cool in middle school? Twilight free skate in the year of the Lord 2023. Genius, brilliant, I respect it.
And
again, it's Shailene Bourne. Is Twilight on HBO?
Must be. Starting pose, squishing your cheeks together like a fish, brilliant. I don't know what that has to do with Twilight because I've never seen it or read it, but Or maybe she does that in the other one. I can't remember. Honestly, every time she does it, my mind goes blank and I am transported. It's one of her programs. She has a starting pose where she's squishing her cheeks together, like kind of making a fish face. I don't know what it is. It's brilliant.
It's art. Thank you so much for joining us here on Spiraling. I hope you've enjoyed spiraling with us, because my God, this has been something. First of all, if you're listening to this, that means that you are actively helping us keep the lights on in the metaphorical studio, and we very much appreciate that. Secondly, Patreon lets you leave little comments. Please, please, please tell me what your programs would be if you were to skate to the things that you found cool in, like, elementary and middle school. That would make me... I don't speak for Megan, but that would make me happy.
I would also like to see. I can't guarantee that I would know where to look or remember to, but I do feel really confident that Netta would tell me, and so I feel like I would find out somehow.
Yeah, we would know. We would somehow know. Also, you can tweet at us as well about any of that stuff. We are on the internet. You know where to find us. We'll see you back on the main feed very shortly, and we'll see you here when the stars align.
Hell yeah. All right. Bye, guys. We love you.
Love you. Bye.